Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
You can't maintain good character today unless you're walking with God every day. Doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. Everybody messes up. Come on, say it for your neighbor sitting beside you. Everybody messes up, okay? Everybody's going to mess up. Everybody's going to fall, but don't stay down. Get up and keep going with God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Welcome back to Revive Radio. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers and his current Wednesday night Bible study. This is part four from the By Faith series, How to Walk with God by Faith. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Come on and help me build the ark. And I bet you some of them and picked up tools and started working to help him build the church. I mean the ark. But never would have attended. Gave money to it. Hey, I can't be there, but let me slip you a little bit of something, something. Maybe that'll help me. Yeah, listen, if I need it. Here's a little money. If I need to get on board, though, save me a spot. Here's a little cabbage to help me get my space in there. You can't buy your way in on this ark. Come on. Can anybody preach this thing all by yourself? You can't buy your way on this ark. He dropped the door down and said, come on in. And Noah kept continually, when they got up the next morning, hey, it's going to rain. Children. 10 years from now. Hey! Gonna rain. Noah, can you get another message? We don't like that one. Stop judging us. Stop judging us. You're judgmental. I'm gonna go to the first church or the non-judgmental. I don't wanna hear that anymore. I'll find me somebody that'll preach what I want to hear. And there's a lot of churches that'll tell you, it ain't gonna rain. That guy's crazy. Have a good time. Do whatever you want to do. Live any way you want to. You don't have to obey God. Just do whatever you want to do. You'll find plenty of places like that. Oh, they won't say it like that. There'd just be no conviction, no altar calls. We got to a place where the ego of the preacher is so much that if nobody gets up and comes to the altar, he feels like a failure. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give an altar call. There'll be an altar call given because I'm not preaching for information. I'm preaching for transformation. Now, if you don't get up and come, that's entirely up to you. But I will go get on the ark when I leave here. And I'll go to the house and I will have obeyed God. Don't you know when Noah got up at 120 years after that, on that fateful day when he preached the last message, God help me. He kept preaching the same thing. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter, I think it's on your paper, 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he referred to Noah there as the preacher of righteousness. So for 120 years, Noah faithfully is preaching the same message without one convert. Gave an altar call every week. Worked on the ark. Just kept on. While serving God, ladies and gentlemen, we need to remember that God doesn't always call us to be successful, but he does call us to be faithful. Please remember that. All my preacher friends that are watching right now, and you're pastoring a handful of people, and you don't feel like you can get to get things to grow and all that kind of stuff. Listen, there's churches I know. I've been listening to preachers. Every one of them is dealing with the crisis of fickle society where people are shoving God aside and doing whatever they want to do, which is a fulfillment of what I'm preaching to you tonight. And I can't stop that, and neither can you, but I can be faithful to whoever comes to my church to preach a faithful word. That's what you want. If I never get to visit you, shake your hand or whatever, that's not where it's at. What you need is a faithful word from the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Anybody get anything out of this? So imagine preaching for 120 years and nobody gets saved. Witnessing for 120 years. Feel like a failure. Can you imagine Noah? Calls up his therapist. Are they going to take my credentials? I'm not getting anybody saved. Is it me? Is it my hairstyle? We don't have enough padded pews. The air isn't right. The PA's not right. On and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, if the message is right and you speak the truth in love. So after all the animals and Noah's family got on, and that always has fascinated me. For 7 days, he said, Noah, get you and your family and get on the ark. And there was 7 days before God shut the door. God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And when the rapture takes place, God's going to shut the door. But I see in my mind's eye, Noah standing in the doorway of that gigantic ark. And the gangplank is there, and the animals are all on board, and they're screaming, and everybody's wondering, Noah, well, you told us to get on the ark. Why can't we go outside right now? Can you hear his kids? Can't we go outside and just, you know, throw the ball? Can't we do this? Can't we do that? And he's standing in the doorway, and he says, no, the same God that told me to build this thing told me to stay right here to get in the ark. In 7 days, it's going to happen. And on the seventh day, the creak of that 120-year-old door started cracking and popping. Not a hand or a rope. Ooh. Not a winch, not a block and tackle, not anything of any human ability took over. But the Holy Ghost is running up and down my spine right now. The supernatural, invisible hand of God picked the bottom of that door up and started closing that door little by little. Come on, somebody. I don't think he took it and shut it just like that. I believe it started creaking and popping, and people are going, oh, look, the door is shutting. Give me another beer. Wonder how that's happening. And Noah's screaming, hurry up, you can still get in. God, help me to be faithful. When people mock, help me to be faithful. When people reject and send me all kinds of stuff, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful, because at the end of the day, he's not going to say, enter in, thou good and successful. He's going to say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Help me to be. Come on, somebody ought to throw your hand up and say, Lord, help me to be faithful. Amen. Now, let me take you on a quick journey as I close out here tonight. The Bible said that Noah's day and the last days would parallel one another, because it would get to the point where the hearts and the minds and the intents of the heart of people would be only evil continually. So in Matthew 24, I'm going to read this to you from the Message Bible. Listen to the way this puts it. This is Jesus speaking. But the exact day and hour, no one knows that, not even heaven's angels. No, not the Son, only the Father knows. Verse 37. This is Matthew 24, 37. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. Verse 39, they knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everybody away. Listen to this from the Living Bible, just a little different take. Verse 37, the world will be at ease. Banquets and parties and weddings, just as it was in Noah's time before the sudden coming of the flood. Verse 39, people wouldn't believe what was going to happen until the flood actually arrived and took them all away. So shall my coming be. Number four. This is wonderful. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, that's that action, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. By the way he lived, it condemned the world. Do you know, you get around some folks that have got the Spirit of God on the inside of them, and it doesn't matter what's going on around them. They just keep on living for the Lord, and they wind up, and people get mad. I've gotten on elevators before over to the hospital in different places, and folks, yeah, you know, I used to go to Pace, I used to go to church, this, and next thing I know, I'm going up two flights just to get off because they start thinking I'm the Pope, and they start confessing everything and their goldfish's sins right there. Unknown to me. I'm going, time out. I don't want to know that. That's like, too much information. The Bible says here that he condemned the world and became, look at this, underline this, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let me take you quickly on this journey. There was an anticipation, number four, an anticipation of inheritance. God is saying to every one of us, if you'll live right, I got something waiting on you that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He calls it an heir of righteousness. That means there's something up ahead for Noah. He's an heir to something that he has no idea what it is yet, but God has already put it in place for him to have. I just want to say to every one of you that are living for the Lord and you're going through a hard time right now, keep on living for the Lord, keep on being faithful, because you are an heir. And the Bible says an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So whatever heaven has is waiting on those that are faithful. The word translated heir here means that you get something without having to merit it. It's by grace. Righteousness is the grace gift to us. All right? Romans chapter 1, verse 17, write it down. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the only way to please God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I conclude with these three rewards that Noah had. Number one, Noah's house, look at this, because he remained faithful for 120 years to the call and the obedience of God, Noah's house was saved. Noah believed God. He believed the warning of God about the coming of judgment, and Noah's whole house was saved. Let me put this in perspective quickly. God saved him. Everyone else around Noah, except for his family, died. But God saved Noah and his house. Why? Because they did not believe God's warning about coming judgment, but Noah did. And Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, let me take you a little further. Noah's wife and his children were blessed to have a godly father who refused to give up his faith in 120 years. And he taught them the truth of the judgment of God and of the God who loved them enough that he was preparing an ark for their household and to save the whole world if they wanted to be. Please remember this, that Noah's sons had married heathen, pagan women. Get a picture of this. These women who could have gone on out into paganism and into the world's deal decided they had to reject their family and choose Noah and his leadership to the mockery of all of their relatives. And they and their husbands were saved in the ark. That is a powerful testimony to the head of any house. If Noah would have stumbled at that hour, he could have lost his whole house. But because his children and his wife saw a faithful man every day living for God, not a man who didn't stumble, not a man who didn't mess up, I'm sure, but the fact is he kept on obeying God and doing what God called him to do, and it saved his house. We'll be right back.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.